First John, chapter 5. In this very important scripture, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, it's hard, you know, it's just because we compartmentalize God's stuff versus normal stuff. And so, I didn't even think of this yesterday, but, you know, I was electrocuted in 1979, November of 79, and for all those years I was in, you know, I went to 60 jillion doctors and pain clinics, and nothing was working. So we found Dr. Barry Smith, and he found the lesion, and was doing the physical therapy, and everything was great. I got off all of the shots I was giving myself, and then he told me he was retiring, and I didn't really apprehend that. And then the last time I saw it was the time he was, by my next appointment, he was going to be gone, and I was so traumatized that I started crying in his office. Well, I received the witness of men, but it wasn't for a long time until I received the witness of God being greater. And it has nothing to do with the condition. It has to do with my countenance fell. I was totally crushed because I was scared. Because I was scared of what happened is what happened. I mean, it doesn't mean anything that I was right to be scared. But I received the witness of men and did not confess it as sin. I didn't recognize that the witness of God is greater. Now, to my mind and my way of thinking, that was a perfect example where I was justified in receiving the witness of men, and I was justified in being saddened and afraid because I had 25 years of experience that said this doctor was important to me. And it was all true. But it's still, I fell back into the flesh because I didn't receive and didn't confess that the witness of men was less than the witness of God. Now, to me, that's a dramatic example of where I received the witness of men and I didn't receive or didn't understand or didn't confess that the witness of God was greater. And it has nothing to do with whether it was justified in anybody's mind. Now, that's what I'm talking about here. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And it is true in every arena of your life. Does that bring anything to mind for you, how often you receive the witness of men and don't confess it because you're convinced that it's a righteous thing?
No, it brings to my mind my amazement at the fact that I'm sitting here agreeing with you. What you're saying is true.
Well, I know it's true.
I'm not sitting here arguing, but that to me is amazing.
It must be Harry World right there. No, well, I'm not concerned with you agreeing with me. I'm concerned with you confessing your times when you received the witness of men and didn't see that the witness of God was greater.
Yeah. tell this one.
So you're confessing your whole life?
God, I mean, nothing but that. I mean,
you think there's
maybe, when you say I'm a believer, that only means one thing. That means that you believe this.
Right.
I have not believed this. I'm amazed that I do.
So, can you believe it now?
I do.
Gary, does it bring anything to mind? You don't want me to pick on you this morning.
You know what? I found out something about Gary, though. That in college, he would, like, dangle himself on the ledges and do contortions you were talking about to freak people out. I figured out that maybe perhaps that's what you're doing in here or something. You're just doing stuff and saying stuff to
he's a spiritual gargoyle.
Make people
yeah, he's a spiritual gargoyle. Yeah.
Spiritually,
when it rains, he spits water out his mouth.
On the edge. I'll tell you what it brought up in mind to me is this bankruptcy thing we went through. The witness of men says that's all bad and all that whole arena.
Blaming your family?
Trinity.
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 Yeah, which
bankrupt? Trinity never went bankrupt.
We were considering at one point.
Did it go bankrupt one time?
No. Never went bankrupt. But that's not important. But it was important. Pete thought it had.
No. I knew we never had, but I knew we
just. No, I'm kidding you, Pete. No, but he's Gary's talking about the bankruptcy that he's going through right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's what just came to mind when you were talking about, because that's a big deal to me, but it's changed everything the way I look at the world and the systems and that. I don't, I don't have roots that have been cut off.
Okay, well, it gets more interesting here. It's progressively making the path more and more narrow as we go down here. So let's watch.
But I also want to agree with what Harry said. It's not just one thing, it's everything. Because the witness of men is what the world and your activities are about. So it's always in your face. It's whether or not you're crossing over it and agreeing with it. It's the aorta. Why are you grinning at me?
Well, because I hope you understand what you just said. It would be a seminal moment in your spiritual life.
Yeah. It's all the same.
Can you remember what you just said?
Yeah. No, it's everything.
Yeah, I mean, it is all of the issues about the separation of life here and life out there.
Yeah.
It is. All the issues about justifying, in my mind, rebellion by you saying it's because I have to be out there.
Yeah. I don't think I say that anymore.
Okay. Anyway,
it's only in the last few months that it has dawned on me that we are not talking about shoulds and ought tos and do lists and don't lists and you should listen to this and learn this and then change your behavior. It doesn't matter how many times you've said that that's not what we're talking about. It's only recently that I've realized that we're talking about what is. We're not saying don't jump in the water. We're saying under the water is a bunch of rocks that will kill you. I mean, it's do what you want. But
well, that's why I
here's
wanted
the consequences.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk so much Sunday night, and I wasn't able to get it out because I was not doing well. But
because one of the Bible studies was late.
About the idea that it's faith that worketh by love is your only motivation. It's everything. There isn't any other thing. And love is hearing. You know, you never judge by what you don't have. I mean, what you don't have is immaterial. It's meaningless. You're only called to be faithful what's in front of you. What you have, so somebody comes and says, well, I can't do this, or I need this, and you say, I can't do it. But that doesn't mean that you should feel guilty about can't doing it, not being able to. It's the idea that you just... It's simply the difference of whether or not you're living by his faith or living by faith in. And that's a huge, huge difference. I mean, of course the Bible has got many, many examples of Jesus healing. But what I was interested in is why he didn't heal everybody. And that's what prompted this understanding of what testing is, or temptation. He had to know that he had that power in order to abandon it. And that's hard to understand. Because you're not tested by what you don't possess. And you have to know that you possess something in order to be tested by it. That's very, very simple, but it defines us, because we keep trying to get something, and then we'll get tested by it when we have it, or we go somewhere and then we'll find out. Well, it has nothing to do with any of that. It is what you possess at any given moment is what you're tested by along those lines. He had to raise someone from the dead so he could give it up. So he could give up raising himself. He had to heal. He had to do all those things so he would know that he possessed it, so he would empty himself of it. But modern theology is trying to get more and more stuff, more and more spiritual stuff, more and more anointing, more and more whatever. And that's not what life is about. Every one of you secretly believe that if something changed, if you had this or that, or somebody changed or did this, or then, no, that's the basis of the one lie.
Now think about Jesus, the man, having that power. I suspect giving it up was not just, I'm going to just give this right up. I think there was a struggle all the time, because he had to be tempted by the power, or giving it up wouldn't mean anything. It would just be a transaction, not an emotional turmoil.
What has to always be seen is one simple thing, and that is, it's never what he willed. He gave up everything to the will of the Father. Even the cross was to the will of the Father. There was nothing that was of him. And that's the mystery of what the mind of Christ is. That you have no a priori agenda. Nothing. That you exist only to do the will of the Father. Now, again, that sounds very, commonplace, but it's mind-blowingly profound to live that. And that's what we're talking about here. He that believeth, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's the whole point, that we need that no man teach us. All that the preaching of the cross does is act as a spark or a connection to that witness you already have in yourself. But that witness in yourself is totally and completely covered over or uncircumcised until you fail. As long as you don't fail, then there is no possibility of knowing that witness is in yourself. But 99% of the time when you fail, then you have a better idea. And that's why I keep telling you, you know, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you weren't grieved. And that's been the singular struggle of trying to get you to see that one thing for 30 years, for me. Do you understand how great this is? How big this is? That's why I've said 1,000 times, I don't give a rat's ass about the investigations or the door or even Trinity Foundation. That's not what we're about. You know, the fear that you had that something would happen and Trinity would go bankrupt, so therefore you have to be Jersey Boy to save the day. That's just a lie from the pits of hell.
Yeah, I was thinking that when you were talking about your reaction to the doctor. I mean, you were in essence saying, my welfare depends
on
this
doctor's hand. And that's what you've said 100 times in this essence, that your welfare depends on me.
Right.
And that's not true.
Not true.
All of Trinity is. Why?
Because of Kevin.
Kevin said it depends on me.
He's become my gatekeeper to well-being.
Can you see how this is this bright line of demarcation from you and the world? So that there's no part of you that is of the world? Do you have any expansions on the tail?
I was thinking about the similar thing in the doctor's office, you know, where they were telling me I wouldn't be able to run anymore because my leg was all screwed up. Because that was like, the only thing I was feeling was that feeling that I had, the reason I started running in the first place was my marriage was falling apart. So it was like, uh-oh, does that mean I'm going to have to go back there? I mean, that's the thing that immediately popped up. You know, and I teared up, and you know, the doctor was going like, you know, he was embarrassed, and, you know, and I was ashamed and everything, because it was like I was suddenly back there at this point of the whole reason I started running, you know. But you know, it was another deal. I just had to get it, you know, see that was over. You know, that's not where my, you know, help was coming from. It was always God in the first place.
And then now this cements it. This next verse. And this is the record, the testimony, the witness, everything. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Now we hear that because of, again, the culture and the words. And we hear, oh, that means I'm going to be here a long, long time. That's not what it means. It means there's no second, no nanosecond of your life that has anything to do with time. And if you see that, then you can never again be seduced by a project or a thing. Harry. He just did the sign of the cross to keep me away from him. Do you see what eternal life really means? There's no part of your activity that is in any way connected to the passage of time, because the gift of God was eternal life. So therefore, the only thing that is taking place is this faith that is the reality, and that faith with regard to how you interact with the world has one thing, love. That's all. And love never faileth. Prophecies fail. Ideas fail. Love never disappoints. If something disappoints you that you thought was love, then it wasn't love. Do you understand that? Again, love cannot, will not, does not disappoint. But the things the human race calls love disappoint constantly. I'll pick on Gary again. He was totally disappointed in his love of his life, Judy, the day of his marriage. Love disappointed. But it wasn't love. Well, you can call it love, or it was love to me, or I don't care what the hell you say. It wasn't love from God's standpoint. It was need. And if you ever get married because of need, I promise you, love, your idea of it, faileth. If you ever, anything, if you have any investment in the outcome, then it's not love. What?
I agree.
Were you looking like it's the first time you've heard this?
No, I'm just relaxed.
You got a self-satisfied grin.
I'm smiling inappropriately.
Yeah.
No, it's just my, you're right. Amen. It's like every moment out there, 10 minutes from now, or a half hour, or 6 months from now, is chaos and fear and loathing and lust and all that. But in this moment, there's unbelievable, unlimited possibilities of what God might do. And it's always exciting and surprising. And
okay, so what's happened all this time since the day you became a believer? Well, the Spirit was lusting against the flesh, and the flesh was lusting against the Spirit, so you could not do the things that you wanted to. Sound familiar? Right. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that has come upon us to try us as though some strange thing. How do you know you believe a false gospel? You believe that suffering is strange. The suffering meaning things not going the way you want them to. Or are the obvious worst kinds of suffering. But can you see the freedom of this? If you can hear, you're never bound in anything time dependent ever again. Your sustenance, again, it has to do with what you've been eating. That's why we must eat only of the Son, because in Him alone we have sustenance, we have satisfaction, we have fulfillment. But if we have been eating anything else, then we find that we are like this, you know, a yo-yo. So, and this is the record, or the witness in yourself, or the life, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Doesn't matter what you do. And whatever you do will disappoint. Because of the whole world, is creation is lying in this state of denigration. Everything is going to pot. Everything is denigrating, including you and all, anything you can see and anything you can think of, except that which isn't time dependent. And it's renewed day by day. The word, remember the word renewal? The inner man is renewed day by day. The word renewal doesn't mean you're getting something. Renewal is a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. So you're just revealing that which is already there. And you're revealing it by you're not getting what you want. You're not, the outcome of your plans aren't what you think they should be. This is really Christianity 101.
What you think is going on isn't necessarily what's going on.
I promise you it's not what's going on. It's not necessarily, I promise you it's not. These things, all right, we can't start that one. That'll take me forever to explain. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So there's never again anything about you that's time dependent. Nothing that can happen can disappoint. So your response to everything triggers the key to repentance. Once you've seen this for one, well, just for a split second, then your obedience has been fulfilled, just for an instant. And once that has been fulfilled, then you are empowered to cast down every imagination and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And once your obedience is fulfilled, then you'll have a readiness to revenge all disobedience instantly. And nothing, it's never, and it can't be, by definition, it can't be any situation, any person, anything. There's nothing that's time dependent that can be at fault. It must be your mind. And if you can't see that, then you got to go through all this crap again. Amen. I haven't said anything different for 30 some years.
Gradual.
But it's only gradual because of our rebellion.
It's continual. Christianity 101.
It's always the first day of school.
It's remedial. Not even 101.
Yeah, it's remedial.
It's Groundhog Day.
What does that mean?
Same day over and over.
Never changes.
It's a cultural reference. Current culture. American culture.
On the slide. It is slide day.
Relatively speaking.
15
years
ago.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
Kevin hasn't said anything.
I mean, he said something. He said something about Harry. He said one thing. He said
he spoke volumes.
He said his one thing through the day.
Yeah. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Now he's abiding. He's tolerating us.
That's us. Like a steward.
He's tolerating us serfs.
Plebeian
serfs. Take it, big guy.
Plenty of my edits on the audio.